Welcome back to The Business of Show Business with me, Jamie Boddy. And today I'm joined by West End performer Jacob Fowler. Jacob, you may recognise him from Heathers the Musical, Adam's Family UK Tour, or he's currently appearing in Into the Woods at the Bridge Theatre. In this episode, we'll be talking about the realities of performing 8 shows a week, maybe giving a 1 or 2 audition tips and all things the business of a show business. Jacob, how's it going?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good. I've got so much to get through today.
Oh,
so
I'm
locked the door. You can't escape.
Here we are, 3 hours.
Exactly. Strap in, folks. First of all, Into the Woods, epic show, Sondheim, in such an unusual space. How's it all going?
Oh, it's so good. Thank you. It's been like the privilege of my career to be part of this production, which is funny because it's the most, you know, offstage of it. Well, I've never been offstage. Yeah. I'm doing a standby in it. But it's great. Like the caliber of actors I'm working with, the venue, the show, the creative team, it's just... It literally is a dream.
I remember when the press release hit my inbox, I was like, love, love, love. Like when all the cast, all the creatives, you're like, what an epic assembly.
I didn't know the way they were going to go with it. I didn't know if it was going to be like, you know, crazy A-listers or actually what it's turned out to be is like high, high caliber musical theatre musical theatre performers and actors, which is just unbelievable. Like Kate Fleetwood as the witch. Oh.
Yeah.
Katie Braben, Jamie, all of them. It's insane. Yeah.
Did you think, because of the Into the Woods, the photos, very foliage, did you think you'd be like one of those bushes in the halftime Super Bowl show?
Honestly, because we didn't know what it was going to be. We didn't know. Everyone kept saying to me when I got the job or when it was announced, like, oh, so, you know, is it immersive? Because it's at the Bridge and Guys and Dolls was there. They thought, is it going to be, you know, is it going to, do you walk in and you're in the woods? And then it soon came to be that, actually, no, it's going to be front on and it's going to be, which I think made people go, oh, like, that's different. Yeah. We expected it to be immersive, but because it's not, it works so well how it is.
So, show Standby. You cover 3 roles. You've been on quite a bit.
Yeah.
What is the life of a standby like, and who do you cover?
I cover Jack, Rapunzel's prince, and the steward. I actually love it. Like, don't get me wrong, of course I'd rather be on stage 8 times a week, but there are some pros to it that you kind of, when I first got the job, I thought, oh, I wonder if I'll get bored. But actually, it's not too long of a contract to get bored. And also, you know, like the other day we had a show stop about 20 minutes in, bless him, Jamie Parker, who's fine now, went over on his ankle. And the person who plays the steward, Huey O'Donnell, who is unbelievable, covers the baker. So Huey had to get out of steward into baker and I had to get off Fortnite into steward because I just sat there playing Xbox.
Yeah.
And they were like, Jacob, can you get into the steward? And I don't know if you've seen the show yet, but the steward is like the campest, all makeup, like wig, regalia. Yeah. It's crazy. So I had to get, they stopped the show and they were like, just give us 10 minutes, everyone. They did it much more professionally than that. But it was crazy. So that's the joy of being a standby. You just get to, 1 minute you're literally playing Fortnite and the next minute you're on stage at the Bridge.
Would you like, so I can't pause this level?
Literally. I was like, oh, I'm actually doing really well. Could you just let them know, the 1,000 of them?
You're like, I need a standby for my gaming, please. You know what I mean? Step in here. What was the audition process like then? Because again, no one really knew what it was going to be like. So did you go in for one particular role? Were you given material? Did you produce your own material?
Do you know what? It was very different for everyone. Some people auditioned in like the March last year. Mm. I auditioned in May. And I've told the story so many times now, so people are probably going to be bored if they've heard it
before. Act surprised if you've heard it.
Yeah. But I was meant to go and see Billie Eilish. It was like the Friday I got the audition through. We were flying to Amsterdam on the Monday to watch Billie Eilish and have like a little...
Couple
of days in Amsterdam, Never been. Still never been. and I just said to my fiance, I was like, I can't not go to this audition. You know, usually I'd be like, do you know what, can we rearrange? Can we do that? But it was Stuart Burt who casts it, who's an incredible casting director. Mm-hmm. And I've been in for him quite a lot for other things. And he's one of those people where he won't see 1,000 people for the role. Yeah. Like he knows if you can kind of do it or not. He'll see, I don't know how many he actually saw, but like he's not going to see just every 5 minutes different people. So I thought, no, this means something like this. And it was standby. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to play a lot of roles in my career. So I thought it was all adding up to be like, oh, okay, he must maybe know that, I'm not saying he only called me in, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it looked
course.
Positive.
Yeah.
So I thought, I can't not go to this. I can't be like, can I have a different time? Can I have a different? So I just, we canceled the holiday. And went.
You're like, Billy, cancel the concert.
Yeah, sorry. No, if I can't go, no one can. And I went to the audition on the Monday, literally had like 3 days. And I knew it was for standby from the off. And it was, I sang Giants in the Sky. So I kind of knew it would be for Jack. And then I sang Agony as Rapunzel's prince. So I knew it would be for that. Yeah. And then about a month passed. And that was it. One audition, sorry. 5 minutes in and out. And about a month passed and I got the got the offer, and I was just like, you know, it was just crazy. Like, that's the dream. One 5 minute. Well, it wasn't 5 minutes. I was in there for probably about 15. But it was also not just Stuart. It was Jordan Fine, the director, Mark Aspinall, Pete, Stuart's assistant. And it was in, I don't know if you've ever been to the American Actors Church. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Oh, no, yes. Near Tottenham Court Road.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was there. And a lot of auditions happen there.
Yeah.
But they all usually happen underneath. Mm. But we were in the church.
Oh, like, gosh.
Literally, they were sat on a pew, and I was with the grand piano with Mark singing. And it was just one of those auditions. I cried after, like, I'm not a very emotional person, but I was walking to St. Pancras going home, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, that was so special. Like, whether I get it or not, I've just sang like Giants in the Sky with Jordan Fine. You know, it wasn't like a dodgy first round where it's just like, come and sing your own song. It was just so kind of special. And then I got the call, and I was like, oh my God, like, almost, I never think this, but I was like, I kind of knew, like, I just had such a good feeling. Like, so it was very special.
Well, and what I think is a great return on investment there is that I think you sometimes hear of like, oh, someone so always gets brought in or this or that, but actually one of the only benefits of staying in this industry for so long is that brand awareness and that loyalty. So obviously you've played all those parts, you got called in, you deserve a good audition. That's only one round.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I say, Stuart's one of those people, he's so personable. He's so lovely. And I probably auditioned for like four or five things for him in the past 4 years. In fact, I think my very, very first audition was for him for What's New Pussycat. Do you remember that happened in Birmingham? It was Tom Francis in the end. Whatever happened to him? He's seen me for a lot of things, but I've never really been fully right, you know, like Anne Juliet, things like that. So when this came around, I think he kind of thought, and I was like, and it was kind of like a mutual, like, oh God, this could be fun.
Yeah.
Like, I remember he hugged me at the end of my audition and was like, I can't remember what he said. He said something. And I just remember thinking like, don't say that, cause that makes me think I've got it. But like, I did in the end. So maybe he knew.
Yeah. He didn't hug you and whisper in your ear. He's like, I'm going to see Billie Eilish.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, I bought your resale ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Could have made that fly.
Yeah.
So let's talk epic show to another epic show, Heathers, and potentially how that was a life-changing experience for you. That show, like, it's appeared so many different times and the audience is so loyal. What was that whole playing JT like in Heathers?
It was unbelievable. Again, that's the only other time I've ever understudied, which is what I'm doing now, obviously. So it was crazy. It was my first ever job. I'd done a TV show, so I had a kind of a little bit of recognition within the industry a little bit. And I came in as understudy JD. And then after five shows, the axe playing JD, 5 days, not five shows, went off ill, bless him. And I just had to go on. It was a Wednesday.
Mm.
He went off in the matinee. They cancelled the rest of the show. And I went on that evening. And I'd never had any understudy rehearsal, nothing. And the producer, Paul, came to me after the show. He watched the show and came to me after him. I was like, babe, how did you know that? It's like, yeah, you tell me. Like,
yeah, because exactly.
we barely just like opened. We had two weeks of rehearsal, which is short for anyone.
That's really short.
So I barely knew my choreography as my ensemble track. But I just loved the show. So I knew it. Like, and obviously you can't, you know, it's your job to know it. But it's also, as I've got older, I've realized that you are meant to have a significant amount of rehearsal and understudy rehearsals.
Yes.
We just hadn't got around to it because it was the day after press. Usually you kind of hit the ground running with rehearsals after press.
Exactly, yeah.
But it was just meant, it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I ended up doing, 99 shows on that contract as JD, because I ended up taking over. And then I did the UK, that was November to March 2022. Then January 2023, I got the call to do JD on the tour. So I ended up doing like 250 more. And then I just went on to just play it so many times.
Yeah, you're like, I want it at least once a year minimum.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? In fact, it's coming around to that time of year. I'll probably get the call.
As soon as like Into the Woods finishes, they're at stage door. I'm like,
yeah, do you know what I mean? Come on, mate. Back.
No, so obviously JD, quite a dark, complex role, but at points you really like him as well. You're like, should I like him?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, what was it like kind of playing that character?
It's funny, when I first went in, because I had no direction. I just kind of did it how I thought, and I wasn't the best actor, and I'm not saying I'm the best actor, but I've grown a lot since then. But I remember going in and playing it quite dark from the off, you know, in that 7-Eleven scene and Freeze Your Brain, and it was all quite angry and moody, which I don't mean I'm angry and moody, but like, I think my features offer a quite a dark, you know, characterization. And then when I went into the tour rehearsal, it was nice because Andy Thickman, the director, was like, I all of a sudden just actually got some direction, which was no fault of his own the first time.
Of course,
I wasn't JD. But all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, you're meant to love him in Freeze Your Brain in the 7-Eleven scene. You're not meant to be like, he comes a bit unhinged at the end of the song.
Yeah.
But then he switches it back and all of a sudden it's... So it was nice to play that. I loved it. Meant to Be Yours. Have you seen the show?
Yeah, quite a few times actually.
Meant to Be Yours was like, the especially doing it at the Other Palace, which is such a small intimate venue, was like probably still, maybe it's been trumped by doing Giants in the Sky whenever I go on as Jack in this. But Meant to Be Yours was just a thrill. Like you just get to stand there and command that stage and you've got the whole ensemble behind you. Like, and you're just screaming, like a bit in a good way. Oh, it's liberating.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to see it originally when Carrie Hope Fletcher was in it, and then when it went to the Other Palace first, not Your Lovely Self in it. So when you go back into it, I'll come to that
one. There you go, yeah.
And the fan base are so loyal. Why do you think fans really engage with that musical?
Do you know what? I think it's, there is almost like a character for everyone. And I think, unfortunately, well, fortunately for us as a country, it's so far removed from our, you know, whereas it didn't do, it's actually running quite successfully in America now, but when it first was in America, it didn't run that well. It ran okay, but they didn't grip onto it like us. And I think it's because the themes of the show are quite close to home for them, let's say. Whereas for us, it's so far removed that we can almost laugh at it and be like, oh, isn't that like dark and funny? I also just think it is a great musical. Larry O'Keefe and Kevin Murphy, who wrote the music and the lyrics, they're just unbelievable. Yeah. Like Larry wrote Legally Blonde as well, which I think is one of the most underrated musicals. Yeah. Like genuinely, people think it's like, oh, like pink and fluffy and hair, isn't it fun? Which it is, but it's incredible.
I love the songs from Legally Blonde.
It's honestly like top 10 musicals ever for me. It's brilliant. And I think Heathers is kind of its like younger, broodier twin, even though it's older. Yeah. Oh no, it's not older actually. But yeah, I just think it's just got that kind of, it's nostalgic without being nostalgic, you know.
Yeah, very true.
Kind of relate to that high school, but then at the same time we can.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've got people like JD who everyone loves. But you shouldn't love him because he's horrible.
Exactly.
But is he? Do you know what I mean? Like, or is he just troubled?
You watch it, you're like, am I the drama?
Literally, oh, he's killing people, but at the same time, I get it.
So obviously, both with that and then Into the Woods, understudy and standby, what kind of skills as a performer do you have to have? Because it's one of those things you probably don't know what you don't know until you're given that opportunity and you're like, oh, I need to like have maybe more of a peripheral view. What are kind of the skills you need as a performer?
Do you know what? Because of what happened with Heathers, where I had no understudy rehearsal and I just had to go on, it's the best thing that ever could have happened to me because I just had to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have to. I technically probably could
refuse,
have said no, but I was never going to because as far as I was aware, little did I know now, that Wednesday evening might be my only show as JD ever, ever.
That's true. Actually,
I mean, I never thought that I'd go on to play it the most in the world. So,
yeah, like, I know. I was like, is that Guinness Book of World Records, right?
As far as I mean, listen, Casey Likes is on Broadway right now, off Broadway. Yeah. But I think he's leaving soon. So I think he won't quite reach my...
and you will be available soon.
I am available soon.
Yes.
But because of that, it was weird in this job in Into the Woods when we like reached press night and then it got like a week after press night. And I was like, I've not been thrown on yet. Like, this doesn't feel right. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I don't mean
full
I should
costume.
Have yeah,
I'm
like,
ready.
I'm ready. Like, Jack. But it was because I've only ever understood once. And that is the feeling of like, quickly go on and do it. But funnily enough, it wasn't the day after press.
Yeah.
But mid-January, so about a month after press, I did go on without having come, we'd done act one of understudy rehearsals for Into the Woods, but we hadn't done act two. The first time I ever stepped foot on the act two stage of Into the Woods was in the show that night when I went on. So it was slightly reminiscent, but nowhere near as kind of, but I was the first kind of principal part to go on. So it was kind of that rush and that buzz. And that's what you do it for, you know, sitting behind the trees, ready to go on for Your Fault and Last Midnight with Kate Fleetwood, like gripping my arm because of the part. She wasn't flipping around. She was just like, this is just me and you out there. And I would just never forget like how comforting she was. Like Kate Fleet, now Olivier nominee for this role and previously Olivier nominee for many things.
I'm obsessed with her.
Through my own detriment, I didn't really know who she was before. Like, and that is completely on me. I knew her from like Harry Potter. She's got like a little scene in that.
Yeah.
And I recognized her face, but I never saw Dalmatians at the Park. I never saw like all the Shakespeare she's done. Mm. And now I know her. I'm just like, oh my God, like she's like my idol all of a sudden. I'm like, you are I will take what I've learned from you on this job in life. She's unbelievable.
Oh, I love that. I'm like, I love her. Moment there. Oh. So what was the audition process like for Heathers? Was it the same as Into the Woods or very different?
Well, not ridiculously different, but it was different in terms of I'm a very go out there and get it kind of person. And I didn't have an agent. I did this TV show, which gave me a little bit of recognition, but I still didn't have an agent. And I just messaged Paul Taylor Mills, on who's the producer, on Instagram. I was like, hi, Paul. Like, you don't know who I am, but I just did this TV show. I've loved Heathers. I've heard it's going to the Haymarket. So this is when it went to the Haymarket with Jordan Luke Gage, Christina Bennington, Jodie Steele. This must have been like the April, May. And he replied and was like, hi, yeah, send yourself Singing Freeze Your Brain. And I did. And then he like read it, like the link of Freeze Your Brain, and never replied. And I just thought...
Left you on red.
Yeah, no, but I didn't mind. I was like, oh my God, Paul Taylor Mills like knows who I am. And he said, yeah, Singing Freeze Your Brain. You know, I was very like bright-eyed, and which I still am, in a way. And then a week later, he was like, hi, thanks for this. Please do these sides, and sent me the Dropbox link to the sides, the scenes. Again, read it when I sent my tape back. That was it. Week later, hi, darling, who's your agent? And I was so young and naive that I like didn't realize that would have been an offer, most probably. And I was like, oh, I don't have one. But like, I'm currently in talks with, and I mentioned the agent that I did end up signing with. And then I think in between that happening and what would have probably been an offer, because of this TV show I did, I was in a band, and I like had to give my loyalty to them. We had some dates in the calendar.
Course,
it would have clashed. Going back, I wish I'd have just done, because it would have been my West End debut. I've still technically not made my West End debut. I have, but in concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to wait till I do an actual show.
Yeah.
So I had to message him. I remember being in the gym. You'll never see me there again. But it was a time in my life where I was
just
at the gym.
FaceTime,
yeah, literally just like, oh, sorry, I'm just like working really hard. I was in the gym, and I remember literally being like, am I ruining my career? Because I messaged Paul and was like, I'm so sorry, I've messed you about, I actually can't do it. And he was so, he just replied like, no worries. He's got many people that want to do it. He didn't say that, but like, looking back, I'm like, oh, he didn't care. But in my head, I was like, God, have I ruined my relationship with him? Cut to about 4 months later, I have an agent at this point, heard it was going to the other palace. Okay, this is a crazy story, but I'll make it brief because I'm rambling. I messaged my agent. I did a show called Venara at the Hackney Empire.
Okay.
Awful show. No offense if you're watching creatives. They're workshopping it again now. Yeah. It'll be better. Some of it was lovely, but it was not well received. And Joaquin Pedro Valdez.
He
played...
Is he going back in workshops for that at the moment?
Yes.
No, yes.
Ayla,
which
was the name of the leading girl when we did it.
Gotcha.
So they've changed it from Venara to that. But I took over from Matt Croak, who got COVID, I think, because it was COVID. It was like, if you got COVID, you had to be out. It wasn't, because it was only a 2-week run. It's not like you could come back.
No.
So I took it. It was my debut on stage, and I was playing like the lead at the Hackney Empire. It was crazy. And Joaquin was in that show, and he said he'd done it at the Haymarket, Heathers.
Okay.
And he said to me, oh, it's going to the other palace. I was like, really? Messaged my agent. I was going to the other palace. She messaged back, no lie. On the Sunday. Yeah. I didn't realize it was starting rehearsals on the Monday. I thought it might be starting in like a month.
Yeah.
On the Sunday, hi, darling, this is from Paul. It was a message from Paul, like, hi, we love Jacob, but we've got a full cast. I literally was like, cool, no bother. Like, what can I do? Monday morning, I had a message from Paul at like 11 a.m. Hi, darling, how are you? What are you doing for the next 13 weeks? And that was it. And then he literally was like, yeah. I never actually asked. And then about 3 years later, I think I said to him, like, what happened? Like, did you have someone and they dropped out? Or did you... He went, I do not know. He was like, my life's hectic. I don't know. Yeah. So I still don't know what happened, but I went in for understudy JD. And then the story that I mentioned prior happened like 5 days in. Gosh. So there was really no... That time, they just said, oh, remember that video you sent me a couple months ago of you doing Freeze Your Brain? Send it again. He sent it to America and they all approved. So it wasn't even really an audition. Gosh. It was just like a quick send to you Singing Freeze Your Brain.
Gotta love that. Send America... Hit.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like, I love it when they're like, we had it on Into the Woods as well. Like, we're waiting for the Sondheim estate to approve. It's like, God, someone to do with Sondheim's watching my video.
I remember back in the day when I danced and I was so fortunate to do season one and two of Bridgerton, and they had to send our stuff off to like the Shonda team. I was like,
literally, isn't it crazy? It's just like, oh, I wonder who's watching it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a wild story.
Isn't it crazy? So long.
But what also I loved is that dilemma, because so many performers will get to that point, whether it's two job opportunities or one job opportunity and life commitments. And it's that inner friction that no one really prepares you for, because we're like, if you get a job, it's amazing, but it's hard. So it's good that you were open about that. And when you...
Exactly. You've got to be. Yeah. Just to be honest. And do you know what? Just to slightly answer a question you asked a minute ago, like... it went off on about being an understudy. I never thought I'd be able to like understudy or swing, or not because I thought I'm better than it. It's harder. I thought I don't have the brain for it. Like I don't know. I'm awful at learning lines. If I go in for an audition, it's like my worst thing. Some people are great at auditioning. I'm not. I'm not like awful, but I'm just, I get so, I could know a script a million times over. As soon as you put me in front of a panel in the bright lights of a random rehearsal studio and go, go on then. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot my line. I'm awful at that kind of thing. Whereas put me on stage and say, go on, do the whole script as JD now. Something just happens. And yeah. I think I missed one line in the Addams Family, but I've never missed a line in a show. But for anyone that's watching, I'm almost positive anyone can do it. Like, it's because I never would have thought I could. So if you're like watching and you're a swing or you're thinking, oh, I couldn't be a swing if you're about to go into training or whatever, I almost definitely think you can. Like, it's not, like my fiance says it. She's like, oh, I could never swing. I just don't have the brain for it. She absolutely could. Well, she did on her last job. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's people can absolutely do it. It's hard. I'm not saying it's so easy anyone can do it, but I mean, you can. Like, don't write yourself off.
Yeah, and I had a lovely team form Empty Swing Life on the podcast. That episode will come out just after this one. Mm. But yeah, they speak about it as well, and maybe sometimes as how it's seen as or pushed upon, like it's less than, or you didn't get this part, be the understudy. Well, actually, that's quite often harder because you're having to learn direction, lines, harmonies, and five other tracks as well.
So. And there are just things, I notice it when I go on, say, as Rapunzel's Prince, and I go on with Olivier Award nominee Oliver Saville, who plays Cinderella's Prince. But whenever we go on together, there are just things that he will have found with Reese, who plays Rapunzel's Prince, that I will never know because it's not a direction. It's like they found it over 100 shows. Yeah. And therefore, like the performance, I don't mean you're coming to see a lesser performance with an understudy, you're absolutely not, but like it's going to be different. And it's just being able to be like, that's fine. And what you need there is respect and gratitude, which we have in abundance at Into the Woods from your co-stars who are used to it. So like people like Ollie or whoever, if I go on as Jack and I'm in a scene with the witch, Kate Fleetwood, is their understanding of this is going to be a different performance than the person who usually plays it. And that's absolutely fine. So it stems from the top as well. And if you have the respect from them, which like I say, we do in abundance, it makes everyone's life easier and it allows you to play as the part. I don't want to have to do the exact same as someone who I'm covering.
Yeah.
Obviously direction is direction and blocking is blocking, that's safety. But characterization and how I might say a line, it's different. And that's what's great about a show like this is these actors are so impeccable that they're actually there responding to you rather than just like, oh, you said your line different and now I don't know how to say my line. It's like, get a grip. But they're not like that.
No.
At all.
TV show, would that be A Little Mix the Search?
It was.
So was that kind
of... It sounds like I've nodded towards it loads to be like, talk about it, but I've not. It just plays a part in so many things that led after it.
Little Mix will be sponsoring the podcast. Yeah. No. Was that kind of your first thing out of drama school, that show?
Yeah, well, it was halfway through. I left drama school to do it. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Little Mix. Got to go.
Literally. Well, I remember I got... Again, it's you watch these shows like X Factor. I loved X Factor when I was young. That's such my generation. And I remember watching it thinking, like, people actually lined up in queues, and some of them did. But, like, now as an adult, I realise you just get scouted for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I got a message from a random person who's called Reese. I think I've actually never spoken to him since.
Yeah.
Thanks, Reese. You know.
And here he is.
Yeah. Oh, God. But Reese, a guy who worked at Modest TV, who produced it, was a casting agent, director, and messaged me and was like, hey, we're doing this TV show. And I honestly thought he'd confuse me for a girl. I don't know why, but I thought they were trying to find a new Little Mix. And I was like, ooh, I remember replying like, because he probably saw my feed and knew I went to like musical theatre school. Yeah. And I thought, I don't know who you think I am, but I'm not going to be in a new Little Mix band.
Little Mix.
Yeah, literally. And I was like, and then he replied like, oh, no, it's not. And I'll always remember that was my initial thought of like, great opportunity, but like really not for me. But
yeah.
And he was like, no, it's everyone. It's just a band. And I was like, oh, okay. And I went to an audition in December 2019, back then, and got through to the next round, Or this is all off camera. This is all like producer auditions, which again, I wasn't really aware of. I kind of just thought, naive me thought you just like rocks up and were like, hi, to Little Mix, which obviously is not the case. Did loads of rounds and then got a call in like the January saying, you're going to audition for Little Mix. Went and filmed it on genuinely like February the 28th.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And there were signs on the door, like if you've been to Italy or Wuhan or anything like that, you can't come in. But apart from that, fine. And we honestly, obviously no one thought what it was going to be. Recorded like the audition, like the kind of the boot camp version, but it wasn't called that. And then the, like the six chair challenge round. It's not what they were called, but that's like the X Factor equivalent. Did all that, knew at that point that we were going through to the live shows. We got through, you got put in a band. I didn't explain that. You audition as a soloist, you get put into a band. And then the world shut down and we thought, oh, they're never going to air it. Like it's never going to go out. But they were great. BBC were great at it, and Modest TV. we were meant to record in the April and May, the live shows. It got pushed back to the October, November.
Gosh.
And we just kept going through it. And the show was fine. Like, it didn't do very well in ratings because COVID. Like,
well, yeah, that kind of broke up consumer habits. It changed so much.
It was crazy. We were after Strictly on a Saturday, which is a great slot to have. No, before Strictly on a Saturday. Great slot to have.
Yeah.
But, like, there was one day where, because we'd record on the Friday, we'd record the live shows on a Friday. Yeah. They'd go out on a Saturday. And we'd be sat on the Saturday in our, like, house they put us up in North London. And we'd be sat ready to watch the episode on Saturday night that we knew the result from, obviously, because it was the day before. And the producer would, like, knock on the door and be like, hi, we're not going out live tonight because, you know, Boris Johnson's calling. Snap, like, talk to the country style things.
Yeah.
So our semi-final, we were all sat there like, God, we're going to watch ourselves on the semi-final. And it was Boris instead.
You're like, is that what I look like?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, that's blonder than I thought. But it was crazy. So it was all very tainted by what ended up being like the third lockdown in December 2021 or November 2021. 2020, sorry. But it was great. It changed my life. It was unbelievable. We won in the end. And then the prize was to support Little Mix on tour.
Which is an epic prize, isn't it? Like doing like those concert and arena venues.
Exactly. And actually, funnily enough, probably not many people know, but the original, because of the original schedule, you record, the live shows were going to be April and May.
Mm.
And the prize was to support Little Mix on their summer tour, which was July and August or whatever.
Yeah.
Which was all at like, Cheltenham Festival and like blah, blah, blah. Like it was all outdoor, like summery vibes. Yeah. And the finale of that summer tour for them was, you know, they do like the Hyde Park thing.
Oh yeah, every summer.
It was that. Turns out, we found out later, if we had have won and that had been the, well, we did win, but if we'd have won at that time and it had all gone to plan, Hyde Park wasn't included in what we would have done. So we wouldn't have done the big finale London show. In the end, what we got is an arena tour in April and May 2022. So it's quite a long time. We had to wait, but exciting.
Yeah, of course.
Which was better because we were doing like the O2. We did the O2 for three nights in a row and like blah, blah, blah. So it was so much better. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it all actually worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
So it was great. It was a crazy experience.
Mm.
I would do the TV show again. I wouldn't do the tour again, funnily enough.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy that. But like, generally it changed my career. It gave me like this step up into
music theater. What was your band called?
Since September.
And do you speak to any of them anymore? Are they still in the industry? Have their career changes?
A few of them. Well, there was only four of us. There was a guy called Matt in there that I speak to mostly and Harry a bit. The reason we won, actually, is funny enough, we were four very different people.
Yeah.
But people liked that when they saw us and they were like, that's that one. That, you know, people liked to be like, that's that one. That's
he's
the singer. He's the guitarist. He's the rock star. He's the like more quiet, mellow one.
Yeah.
So we all had like a persona. And I think that's why we won, because people were like, oh yeah, just four. Like,
they can see themselves as well. Maybe exactly, one person. Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's why we won, because it was a public vote. Because Little Mix didn't love us. Like, they didn't not like us, but we would not. If Little Mix could have decided, we would not have won. And you can tell that from like the average of the scores throughout the actual live shows. We weren't great. Like, the three of them were, they can all sing, but I was very much like the singer that has trained and I am the singer, you know. They were all more like, everyone had a different vibe. Like, Harry was a rock star and I could not do what he does. He would be like jumping about and playing the guitar. He was such a showman, like a bit of Robbie Williams. I was like the kind of Sam Smith behind the piano. It was a bit like, why is he there? But also like, it worked.
So
we were all very different. That's why we won. But then when we've left and we've all moved on to other things, I speak to Harry yesterday on text, but like, we don't see each other a lot.
Yeah.
We're not kind of friends like that, where we're like, oh, there's one point where they were like, let's all live together. And I was like, absolutely not. I couldn't think of anything worse.
Well, I think living, and that's one thing I always say to like fresh grads. I'm like, sometimes like living with friends is great, but also if you're all doing the same thing, going to the same auditions, all maybe
it's
hustling.
So it's competitive as
well.
Yeah,
and it's exhausting.
Crazy.
So sometimes living with an architect or a...
Living with someone that's not in the business and doesn't understand it. I live with my fiance who is in the business, but... You know, that's different because she's my partner.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
You know, when they said, that's the other thing, I was the only one in a relationship at that point. They were like, let's live together. I was like, no, like well, she wasn't my fiance at that point, but I've got a girlfriend and like, we're looking at doing stuff. Like, I'm not moving in with you three, but also you're all messy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got standards.
So let's quickly talk about the fact where you do live now. You live out of London, but you've obviously got places that you can stay in London. And what I love about that is it kind of takes away that myth that you necessarily have to be in London for this industry.
Oh, absolutely.
So also with that, you've got another business. You are a proud co-owner of a theatre train.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that. How did that even happen?
So my fiance and I have taught at like stagecoaches and things like that for years. And when we moved to Market Harborough, where we live now, we thought, you know, oh no, actually before that, before we moved to Market Harborough, we moved in with Hannah's mum and dad in South Leicestershire, very close to Market Harborough, to save money for a house, you know, which is what you've got to do in this age. It's impossible to save for a house otherwise. And we were very fortunate to do so. And we worked at Stagecoach Leicester.
Mm.
And that came up for sale and we nearly bought that. And thank goodness we didn't in the end, because it was a lot of money. And that would have been what we'd eventually spend our deposit for a house on.
Yeah.
So it worked out better. We bought a house instead in Market Harborough. And then Hannah's mum, I think it was Hannah's mum, it might be my mum, can't remember, sent us a link. We were in New York at the time, just funny enough. I remember walking around Central Park and getting this link that was like in the Stage newspaper saying, oh, Theatre Train offering five, like, not free, but essentially free franchises to new places that don't really have one, like Greenfields, they call it. So if you're in a place where there isn't a Theatre Train, and this was the October, we were moving in the January to our new house. So we were literally like, this is perfect. So we just messaged Theatre Train, applied via this link, had a meeting with them. And we kind of knew we were going to be a shoo-in for it because we're both musical theatre performers. I've been lucky enough to be quite successful and therefore it's got that kind of...
We're taking away some of the risk, isn't it? And it's an investment. You've got to kind of mitigate that.
There's like 80 theatre trains in the country and they know that, okay, one's going to be set up in Market Harborough that's run by essentially West End performers and people that are in the business now. Nothing on people that aren't in the business now, but people that know it. And they're not. Yeah. It's not someone that's done it 20 years ago and wants it, which is absolutely fine. That's got its pros and cons. But we thought, well, let's offer a different version of that where we're currently in the business. And that's one thing we struggled with Stagecoach is that they weren't too keen on us being performers at the same time. So like, well, what if you can't be there on a Saturday? And I was like, but do you not see that that's what, do you not want the kids to aspire to that? Yeah. You know, like, and I just find it a bit strange. Whereas Theatre Train are all for that and they're very grateful for us. They're very grateful that we are doing that and also, you know, performing. So that was it. And we got it. And we paid like a deposit that we ended up getting back in terms of like, annual fees that, would go to them. So it turned out to be free, which was great, rather than spending all the money we would have to buy a pre-existing one.
Yeah.
And now, funnily enough, we're going for a year this May and we've got like 90% of the same, not the same children, but like 90% capacity, the same as the Stagecoach that we had bought up the road. So worked out to be a progress. Yeah. Like, great. It's honestly just worked out perfectly. And we're very lucky. And we're about to do our first show, which is The Addams Family. Get my own credit in there.
You only do my shows.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, actually. Next, Into the Woods.
Yeah.
And then Heather. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
like 5-year-olds doing Freeze Your Brain.
So what business skills has that taught you now? Because obviously you're managing staff, you're doing finances, venue booking, all of that. What skills has that taught you?
Do you know what? And anyone will tell you this, I love admin. Like, I'm a sucker for it. I don't know why. I have quite like an OCD brain and I don't use that word lightly. Like, I definitely do have OCD, but like, it goes to my favor in things like that.
Mm.
And I just love organizing. And I'm honestly, anyone in Into the Woods will tell you, anyone in my dressing room, because I'm a standby, if I'm not playing Fortnite, I'm literally sat there and they come in and they're like, oh God, you're doing Theatre Train again. And I'm like, darling, I'm a business owner. Like, I've got to do what I've got to do. But I'm doing it all the time, but I love it. It's taught me a lot, you know. Literally on the train here, funny enough, I was ringing a venue in Leicester to book for the Addams Family. Mm. You know, we have one venue, but we might be looking at another one, blah, 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 blah. If the old venue's listening, sorry, you don't know yet. but like, do you know what I mean? Like, so but I love it because it's kind of working in the, I'm not there on a Saturday at the moment because I'm in Into the Woods.
Yeah.
So I'm not physically there. So therefore Hannah kind of is the face of it and does all the like meeting the parents and is with the teachers. She's there physically. And I do all the admin we've got that perfect link. We could both probably do each other's job as well, but that's just the way
it works. But it's a nice thing. You're not treading on each other's toes. You can both, in your own working hours and capacity, do what you need to do.
Exactly. And it's great. It's going so well and we're very lucky. Yeah.
So what skills now as a business owner do you think, oh, I've already did that as an actor and didn't realise, or are there any skills now you think, oh, actors should start viewing themselves as a business and this is what they should do?
Do you know what, funnily enough, despite being an actor, I'm not good at speaking to parents, but I'm just not, this acting and being a personable, you know, person to speak to people in real life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't approach me, I'm not a nice person in real life. I absolutely am.
Yeah.
But like,
when JD I'm- on and off
Yeah,
stage.
Literally, yeah. Yeah. But when I'm like there with the parents, I'm so much better over like email and phone and things like that. For some reason, I'm just like, it's not like a crumble when a parent comes up to me. But I think for me, it's as well, when I pop back every now and then, I almost don't know the kids because like I I've been away for so long, whereas Hannah knows them very well. But I know their parents by, if you ask me their email address, oh God, I know it like that. Yeah. But like, you know, I'm, so it's a very different thing like that. But in terms of actually like skills as a performer and, you know, doing that, I'd say to other performers that are looking at it, come up with some kind of side hustle. Like, obviously it's hard for everyone to do that, but there are so many things out there, like whether it be just teaching, you know, for 5 years, I taught at different stage coaches and theatre trains, things like that. You know, that it's not these days. Well, another example is I do like my own workshops and things like that, like especially Heather's, because people love it up and down the country. And I used to just say to schools, you know, hey, I'd love to come in and do a workshop. And I charge a flat rate. And I don't, whether they paid for it as a school or they charge the kid, all that was up to them. I would just charge a flat rate and go in and do it for 90 minutes. Then I thought, why don't I just run it myself? So last summer and last Easter, I literally did in 2 weeks, the Easter holidays last year, I did like 15 different cities in 2 weeks. And I just planned it. So I was doing like my own UK tour but of workshops. Yeah. And I didn't plan it very well. I was at Glasgow one day and Southampton the other. It was ridiculous. Yeah. But I set up my own website. I made it so you can like buy things on the website. I rang all the venues myself. I just did it all myself. And I wouldn't mention this if we weren't on like more of a business minded podcast, but like monetary wise, it was so much more rewarding because all of a sudden and yet the kids were not paying any more than what they would have paid if like their school had said, oh, come in and you pay £30 and you know, you get 3 hours. It worked out like £10 an hour for the kids for 3 hours. It was not, you know, people were saying, oh, this is actually quite cheap. Like you're not charging very much. But, I'm not even being like a nice guy. Like, no, I thought, no, I'm charging what I think it should be. I'm not going to charge you way more than you should just because I can, you know? Yeah. So and then I did it again in the summer and I didn't put the prices up and for me, it was so much more rewarding. Yeah. For them, it was all done through me. So they got to actually email me and say, I can't do this, can't do that. And I was more aware of what was going on rather than turning up at a random address and being like, well, I don't know who's going to be here, but here we go. And again, I love admin. So it was actually fine. I didn't mind organizing it.
Well, what's great there though, is that you've spotted a gap in the market. People love Heathers. You've got the skills to do that. Great. Next thing is like, oh, let me go directly to the person. Let me cut out that middle person. So that was really good.
It makes business sense. Like, you know, and no one else was being done over in the process. It's not like someone was losing. It just meant that I was in charge of it all, which I encourage any performer to do. You know, I was very lucky of my position in the industry as doing Heathers for so long, and I'd done the UK tour of it like a couple of years before. And you know, if anyone's listening that's in a show like that, like now what I do is if I did another UK tour like that of a show that people loved, I would work out the venues around the UK tour and I'd be like, right, we're in Glasgow for a week, I'm going to do my, so I'm traveling, therefore you know, if you're talking business mind, all your travel's paid for because the company's paying for it because you're on tour, you know, things like that. So that's my next step if I did that, but
reinvent the wheel. I think that's the thing, it's understanding that like, these are all the skills I've got, how can I make money from them when I'm not maybe in that show or filming that TV show or film?
Exactly.
And don't get me wrong, we've all got those side jobs and we need them, but if you can earn that extra income doing what you're good at and what you love, why not?
Honestly, it was a no-brainer for me. And then now we've got theatre train like we discussed. Yeah. And I genuinely love teaching. Like I'm less of like a teacher, like, you know, because I'm not a dancer. So I won't stand there and be like, right, we're going to, I mean, I did on this kind of workshop tour, but less, more in that, but I love imparting any kind of experience I possibly can. Like I love Q&As. I love things like this. Anything where I can be like, my route into the industry was so different to most people's, but also all of theirs are different as well. And you do, you know, the reason I like it is because I was 17 and I'd never really done musicals before. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I want to do it. And I look back and I think, oh, there's so many 17-year-olds out there now that will think it's too late. I might get a grip. You're 17. Yeah. You know what I mean? But they don't realize because they think they have to do ballet from when they're like two or three. Mm. And now I'm a dance captain in the most nominated Olivier show of the year. Like I know it's a Sondheim, but I would never have thought I'd be a dance captain in any show ever. So
and you are a drill sergeant, I bet.
Exactly. Oh, Kate Fleetwood, star jumps now.
Yeah, one at a time.
You might have an Olivier nomination, but come here.
Really quickly, before we go on to our last quickfire round, we spoke about business there. You mentioned social media and email. You've obviously contacted casting directors and producers before from that Heathers. What are your thoughts on social media in the creative sector? Because every performer is a personal brand. Yes, they shouldn't forget the human behind that. You're not robots. But what are your thoughts maybe on social media in the arts?
Do you know what? I think that when people think social media in the arts, like the first thing they think is, I'm going to make loads of videos on TikTok or whatever, about something that's not to do with musical theatre that just gets me a bit of recognition, and then I'll use that to be in musical theatre. Mm. But that is just the top. That's what most people see as like social media. What I see as social media and what I've used, I mean, don't get me wrong, I have done some of those silly videos and every now and then I'll make a TikTok. But like, I actually do that because it's fun. If I didn't think it was fun, I wouldn't do it. I've never been really paid from it or anything like that. But what's great about social media in the day and age that we live in is how easy it is to contact people. Like, you can literally probably type in like casting director for Into the Woods and you'd find Stuart Burt's email and you can email him and say, hi, I'm a grad. I'm about to graduate. I've, you know, heard that you're casting this show. I have an agent, but I just thought I'd reach out personally because blah, blah, blah. I think that's great. Like when I was 16, I literally went on Les Mis. Yeah. I found like the casting associate's email, who's called Christopher Key, who I've actually never met in my professional life now.
Yeah.
Emailed him, was like, hi, I'm 16. I've got no headshot. I've got no CV. I'm literally no, I didn't say it like that, but I made him aware that I was just, I'm like a normal comprehensive school, but I really think like I could be Marius.
Yeah.
It's making me laugh now.
Yeah.
But he replied and was like, hey, Jacob, so lovely to hear from you. Please send over your CV. We'd love to get you in. And then I actually can't remember what happened after that. I think I probably wimped out and was like, gosh, like I couldn't actually go in and do it. Like, looking back what they like now, they do like a young Marius. So actually maybe I could
have. And the curls are doing great.
The curl, do you know what I mean? No wig. but I've always been like that. I just think you have to shoot your shot. So I think everyone can use social media in that aspect. And I've learned that even more in this job. Like people that are in the industry that you think don't need to move a muscle other than let their agent do it. Yeah. No, all the one, they're like, we all talk as a cast and we're like, well, you're in for that. That's so interesting. Oh, you had that put, because everyone's coming to see Into the Woods. That's the good thing about Into the Woods is everyone wants to see. It's not like Heathers where everyone's like, oh, I saw it originally. I'm not seeing the tour. Everyone wants to come and see it. So we've got some cool people coming to watch. And people are so generous at being like, oh yeah, my agent bought this person. Do you want their email? I'll give you their email. Yeah,
amazing.
Email them. I think that is what social media is good for, you know, is just connecting and being like, you know, I emailed a casting director at the National a couple of weeks ago. I was just like, hi, I heard you were in. I was on as Jack. Just want to say it's a pleasure to have you in. And, you know, I can't even remember what I said. You know, you don't want to be like, please give me a job.
Yeah, no, of course. That.
But it's just about connecting. So if my name ever pops up on his desk, he'll go, I saw him in Jack. Yeah, bring him in. It's all about that in my eyes. You know, it's not about makers. Good for the people that do make videos. I mean, Hannah Lau that smashes it and all people like that.
Yeah.
I love that. But that's not a lot of people. That is Hannah.
Yeah.
That's what I say to people is Hannah is like, she's not putting on a facade and then she comes off camera and she's like horrible. She is bubbly and that is her persona and therefore it works for her.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're like me and you're not very like, I wouldn't be like, come with me for a day in the life. Because I'd be like, come with me for a day in the life. I'm about to get coffee. Do you know what I mean?
So like, you will hate your life.
Yeah. Literally, people think I'm JD in the street. It doesn't work for me. Whereas like, you know, I use social media for different things. Yeah. So it's what, use it to your advantage rather than trying to fit them all.
And like your social media, your online presence should just be an extension of your in-person. So you shouldn't try and be like, oh, I'm
otherwise,
this
it's not successful. Disconnect. If you try and be a different person, also people quickly latch on. You'll walk into a room and they'll be like, she was not as nice as she is in a video. But like Hannah is, so it works for her. Yeah. And Maddie Grace Jepsen is, I don't know her personally, but I can imagine she is. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So use it to your advantage.
Right, I must let you get off to your show, but we're going to end this with our lights, questions, action. Is this some quick fire, easy questions? Are you ready?
Knowing anything from what I've done, it won't be quick fire, but I'll try and make it quick fire.
I'll be charged overtime soon for the studio. Best show you ever saw?
All Round Follies at the National.
A Sondheim or pop rock musicals?
What? Like, one or the other?
If you had to pick either a Sondheim or pop
Sondheim.
Rock.
Oh, gosh.
Done. West End opening night or closing night? What's more emotional?
Do you know what? Opening night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful.
If JD had a happy ending, what would it look like?
Oh, I think he would be with Veronica and they'd live happily ever after and Big Bud Dean would be out of the question.
Audition mishap or horror story that's light and funny, nothing too gruesome, but...
I auditioned for Mean Girls in the West End and when I was speaking to the director in the room, I called them the Heathers by accident after being in Heathers. And I was like, but it looked like I was just trying to be like, I was in Heathers, by the way. I was like, so is this like where they're talking to the Heathers? It was so embarrassing. Didn't get cast.
One role that everyone loves that you secretly would never want to play?
Well... because I couldn't play it, Jean Valjean. Yeah. It's too high.
It's the curls. You couldn't play
it. It's the curls. I couldn't, darling.
You can only watch one musical for the rest of your life, film or stage show. What would it be?
La La Land.
I love it too.
I'm a sucker for it. Gets a lot of hate, but I love it.
Pre-show ritual.
Um, it, I listen to the song that that character sings if they have a big song, you know, like JD, Freeze Your Brain. And I'll just sing the last 30 seconds to see if I've got it.
Get method.
Yeah, exactly.
What song or film do you watch or listen to if you need inspiration?
I listen to the A Chorus Line original Broadway soundtrack. I know that's not a song. At the ballet, maybe, from that. You're I just love that old Broadway feel. I'm just like, yes, this is what
I hope I get it.
You're like, I hope I get it.
And you've just been on a podcast. So do you like to leave podcast-sized voice notes or do you like a text?
I'd rather do a voice note. I think things can be misconstrued on a text. If you're trying to, if you're just talking colloquially, it's fine. But if you're trying to actually organise something or if you're trying to speak to someone that you don't often speak to. Exactly. Sometimes like a full stop can mean a thousand things. Whereas if you speak it, they know how you're saying
it. Perfect. Well, all I have to say is make sure you watch and subscribe and leave a comment wherever you watch or listen to your podcasts. Well, we won't say what's coming up, but just keep an eye on your socials for shows. Maybe even a workshop or two.
Maybe even a workshop. Who knows? I feel like I've done the Heather's ones now. I can, maybe they'll be back. Who knows?
Yes. Thanks for tuning in.